Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word.
Ladies and gentlemen, your favorite media mogul, August Donnelly.
Good day or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are, and welcome once again to Full Frontal right here on CHRW 94.9 FM. It's Monday night. It's 7:30 post-meridian. Let's get down to brass tacks. You know, before I got into the radio gig, I worked a day job, like most folks, and I have to tell you, I had a boss who shall remain nameless, but who used to call myself and other individuals into his office. And during the course of conversation, he would intermittently open and close his jaw while adjusting his genitals. Now, if that isn't wrong, tell me what is. At the end of the day, I mean, we have all kinds of innocent men and women giving their lives for our great nation of Canada, and we can't get guys like this into a uniform. And he had this terrible coffee addiction. What is it with coffee? In all seriousness, for those that are hooked, it's like crack cocaine. It's like people turn into the wolf man if they don't have their morning fix. Why don't they have little instant messaging emoticons for people at the office who are jacked up on coffee all day? Oh, Susan, you're so silly. Look at that forward you just sent me. Signed, Janet. Froth, growl. But in all sincerity, I can't understand why it is that people need to imbibe in illegal street drugs. Seriously, let me tell you something. I made the mistake of having a large coffee from Starbucks the other day. I don't drink coffee anymore. I gave it up a couple of years ago, not because I'm holier than thou. It's not good for you, and I just don't enjoy it the way I used to. I think also because I equate it with smoking, which I also gave up a while back, that I just can't do the two together, if you know what I'm saying. It's like heroin without the needle. You just can't do it. Regardless, had a large coffee from Starbucks the other day, and I made the mistake of trying the bold blend. I didn't realize that bold blend meant black as tar and strong as steel. Well, you know the expression, the bread was so fresh you have to slap it? Well, this coffee was so bold it slapped the crap out of me. I drank the coffee and then, while getting over a lung infection, took a couple of hauls off my bronchodilator, you know, prescription puffer, and I was good for about 8 to 12 hours. Both of these substances naturally increase your resting heart rate and blood pressure, and no word of a lie, I was sitting there, perfectly fit, with no existing medical conditions, other than, you know, a common cold, and I had a resting heart rate of over 120 beats a minute. I took my pulse and it scared the bejesus out of me. So I've learned, screw running. I'm trying to get the word out there about the newest exercise fad, coffee and inhalants. If I have to go down to the hobby shop one more time and convince those people that I really love model airplanes, I'm going to have to check myself into rehab and stop exercising entirely, if you know what I'm saying. But, you know, on an unrelated note, I have to ask, what's with old Stephen Harper these days? Our good PM, our good Prime Minister, the man up on Sussex in Ottawa there, is it just me or does he look like the kind of guy who would turn you in for using an aerosol can in a manner other than directed? You know, do you know what I'm saying here? Am I completely bass-ackwards here? Am I completely sideways? Or does he look like the kind of guy who might owe Ed McMahon $1 million? Looks like the kind of guy whose inner monologue is a perpetual loop of taking care of business. And another thing that comes to mind, he looks like the kind of guy who would kick a girl out of bed for eating crackers. But speaking of Stephen Harper, speaking of our great nation of Canada, you know, these are things I thought of recently. And granted, you know, this is reminiscences over the years and whatnot. But in all sincerity, only in Canada do stores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescription, while the healthy people can buy cigarettes at the front. Don't tell me in the 1980s and 90s you didn't walk into, you know, Kmart or a drugstore when they used to sell cigarettes in drugstores, and think of the irony of that. You're walking all the way to the back, you know, you got the gout, that inflamed big toe is acting up something fierce, and old Grandpa Jones is smelling like Grandpa's cough medicine getting his Pall Mall menthols at the front. Yeah, think about it. Anyway, I'm so goofy. Only in Canada, though, only in Canada are there handicapped parking places in front of a skating rink. I've seen it, and I've seen it in more than one city. Only in Canada Do we have drive-up ATM machines with Braille lettering on the keypad? I was at a drive-up ATM machine the other night, and it dawned on me. There is Braille lettering on these numbers. What is with that? Why are blind people driving? Oh, people. Only in Canada do you never so much as bat an eyelash when someone offers you cream or homo with your coffee and then asks you to bum a fag to go along with it. Eh? Eh? And the last thing that came across my mind was only in Canada, at minus 10 degrees Celsius, would the population of Greater Vancouver reach extinction level, while the residents of Winnipeg go for one last camp out before it gets cold. Truer words were never spoken, ladies and gentlemen. This week, I've got a great guest lined up. We're about to get to that momentarily. I've got Norman James, the lead sports anchor with Chum Television's A-Channel News, right here in London, Ontario. And Norm's going to give us the 411 on what's going on in the world of sports and how things are doing at the A-Channel, my good friends there that are so gracious, and we always love to have them on the show. And other than that, there's not a great deal else that's new and or exciting. What was I supposed to talk about as I shuffle papers across my desk? Of course, the listener email. The listener email. I will be continuing my pledge to my listeners to read one positive and one negative email on each broadcast of Full Frontal to the best of my ability. The first email message is pretty positive. The guy's name is Caleb. It's Caleb with a C followed by an A-L to the E-B. C-A-L-E-B, like Bravo. Caleb. Caleb, the subject is your coverage. By that, I presume he means the things I cover in the show here on CHRW Radio. Anyway, he says, "You are really good, dude, comma, you need your own TV show, period." Straight, simple, to the point. Well, Caleb, thanks very much. I greatly appreciate that. And a big shout out to you and wherever you're at. Second email I got was from Mr. Dima Iles. I don't know. I'm doing my best not to butcher the name here. But the subject is, the email itself had a subject heading, "Very urgent, please," all in block letters, with a subheading of "Very confidential." The email reads as follows. "Good day. I am Mr. the aforementioned name, secretary to the senior credit officer of Bank of Africa, BOA, here in Burkina Faso. Here is a 100% concealed and mutually profitable business proposal for you. After the United States and Iraqi War, our client, Hatem Kamil Abdul Fattah, who was the deputy governor of Baghdad in Iraq and also businessman, made a numbered deposit with a value of 15 million British pounds only in our bank here in Burkina Faso. We later found out that the deputy governor has been assassinated in Baghdad. All that is required from you now is for you to provide me with your full names and addresses so that I can fix in your name as the next of kin and send you an application letter, which you will fill in and forward to the bank for the claim. There are no risks involved in the matter, inasmuch as you follow up my instructions and directives as an insider, we will achieve our aim. If you are interested, please send me your private phone and fax numbers for easy communication, and I will provide you with more details of this transaction. And in block letters, please respond to me immediately." So, I'm not really sure if that's good, bad, or otherwise. I would say it has to fall into the category of a negative email message, only because it's quite evidently a scam email. You know, at the same time, I am slightly tempted. I do know the tremendously prolific reputation of the Bank of Africa, the BOA, B-O-A, and of course, you know, I'm quite familiar with the jurisdiction of Burkina Faso, major epicenter of Africa. You know, some go to Cairo, you know, others go to Khartoum, some go to Johannesburg. I personally, for my money, Burkina Faso, it doesn't get any better than that. So, why do I even read this garbage? You know, 80% of the listeners just tuned out halfway through that. You know, we used to buy his t-shirts, but now he's got his hand out. Anyway, All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time again. I've got Norman James with me from Chum TV's A-Channel Sports Desk. Norm, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Norm, how is the sports desk these days? What's the new and crazy vibe going on?
It's very busy right now. All kinds of sports are colliding. All kinds of leagues and championships are happening around this time. So what we're trying to do is, you know, keep tabs of it all and, you know, cut it all up, make it nice, neat, and tidy to be presented. And we do that 6 and 11 Monday to Friday, and we're having a good time doing it. Oh, I should mention that we do it Saturday and Sunday, too. So we are 7 days a week.
This is true. Now, you're on Monday to Friday, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So you got the Monday to Friday gig, and you're on 6 and 11?
Yeah, 6:50 to be precise, and about 11:25 to be precise. And it seems like every single year they're pushing me back even further to the top of the clock. So you better tune in, because one of these days I might be in Bill Needle territory from SCTV, where I've got 15 seconds to get everything in, and then finally, one of these days, you know, I won't even be around. But hey, while I've got this gig, I'm living life, and I'm really working to the fullest.
I remember that character. That was an awesome character they did back in the day, Bill Needle. God. Anyway, so yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you heard Norm, 6:50 and 11:20 thereabouts. So tune in on your television, on your VHF or your UHF, or pray to God you've got cable by this point.
And viewers are always welcome.
Viewers are always welcome, exactly. So, Norm, I have to ask, what got you interested and involved in broadcasting originally?
You know what? Growing up, I was always told by my family, and I don't know if they were lying to me, but you know, inadvertently, they did help me carve out some kind of a career. They always told me I should be on television. You know, you're the kind of like the you know, the family goof. You know, at Christmas, everybody gathers, and you know, I'm up there doing voices, and you know, dancing around, trying to be the cool guy, trying to be the funny guy. It would often end in, you know, misery with me being injured or hurt or my feelings crushed or something like that. But you know, as a kid, I was always told I should be on television. Again, I just couldn't shut up. And, you know, going forward, I've always had this affection for radio and television. Mm-hmm. You know, when kids were watching Polkadot Door, I was watching The National or The Journal with Barbara Frum or Knowlton Nash. So it was a little odd, you know, being an eight-year-old watching those kinds of programs, or, you know, sitting up late at night listening to CFTR or 1010, Ted Walsh, and stuff like that. So I've always been attracted to it. I've always been pulled towards it, in addition to many other things. So just growing up, but I've always felt like I wanted to be on television, and here I am. It's a really neat story in that this is what I've always wanted to do, and I'm doing it, and I'm extremely lucky. Let's just say most people don't get a chance to fulfill their career dreams, and I'm not one of those people.
Absolutely, and that's you can't put a price on that. There's no doubt about it. It's funny, just made me think of a funny story, a quick anecdote. You said being a kid watching television shows that are atypical of what a youngster might watch. I remember, this is the God's honest truth, as a little kid, I would sleep most of the afternoon and evening so that at night, when my father or mother or whoever was home or both were, you know, struggling to get me into bed in like the early 1980s, I would get up at 11 o'clock every night and have to watch David Letterman, or 11:30, whatever it was, because, you know, he came on CBS or ABC or whatever, NBC around 80, 81, something like that, when I was a toddler. And this is the God's honest truth. My parents would be like, it's bedtime now. Like, no, I have to watch the monologue, you know. And I'd go and I'd sit on my dad's knee or my mom's knee and in front of the TV and watch David Letterman.
You know what? I think there was something hypnotic involved. Who knows? Perhaps the gap between Dave's front teeth may have just sort of sucked you in. I don't know what it is. It's
kind of Manhattan Island haircut.
Yeah, absolutely. The David Letterman, just that face, that silly looking face, sort of draws kids in. They're compelled by it. And to be honest with you, we have a lot in common, because you know, I'm a huge David Letterman fan. I'm a Letterman disciple. So
yeah.
You know, when Leno was brought up, I usually leave the room. So
yeah.
I think we have a lot in common in that regard. And for you watching Letterman as a child, hey, you know what? He's trying to set you on the right course, and I think he's done a pretty good job.
Well, I appreciate that, and you're right. As far as Leno goes, I can't detract from Jay. He's definitely good at what he does, but I am a Letterman guy myself. It's like Coke or Pepsi or one or the other.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, if you can tell the listeners, if you don't mind, what is a typical workday like in the life of Norman James?
Well, I usually roll out of bed around 2:30, pop a couple Advil because my head's pounding from that crazy night. That was me a while back. But I'm usually in around 3 o'clock.
So you're getting up at the crack of noon.
Yeah, crack of noon. Hey, you know what? We live on the other side. We're
this is true.
Yeah, we are night people.
Excuse me.
We are night people. You're excused, by the way. We are night people. So. To get back to the original point, 3 o'clock I'm generally in.
Yep.
We're sort of examining and absorbing the day's sports news. If something was big that happened the night before, it might be important enough to recap or revisit at 6 o'clock. But 3 o'clock I'm in. We try to start to compile everything we want to put together for the 6 o'clock show. And then the grind is on. It's trying to build a show, trying to get the footage, get the information and resources we need to put the show together. It somehow magically works every single day. So from 3 o'clock to around 6:30, we're compiling everything. And then at around 6:50, it's time to present. The first show is done. Take a bit of a break, come back around 8 o'clock, and start all over again for the 11 o'clock show. And that's Monday to Friday. Unlike popular belief, we are working 8 hours, 9 hours a day to try to put a show together. Some people believe that you walk in at 5:30, put your feet up, check your email, go out for a cigarette or go for a coffee, come back, read the sports, and then go home until 10:30. It's not like that. It may have been down the line when there were 15 people working on a show, but we have 3 people, sometimes 2, sometimes 1.
Yeah.
So if you're a one-man band, baby, you have to play every single instrument, and there is no time to relax. And I'll be honest with you, if you really care about what you do like I do, there isn't much downtime during Monday to Friday during, say, a 50-hour week. It's just go, 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 and then Friday night comes and you could take a bit of a breather.
Very true. Like you say, people don't understand or appreciate sometimes what goes on behind the scenes. From what I gather and from speaking to colleagues and associates and the like, I understand you're a bit of a baseball fan like myself, and that you actually played some ball down in Texas for a few years.
Yeah, I did. The more I think of it, the further in the rearview mirror it gets. I left in 97.
Okay.
To come back to get my broadcasting career into full swing, or at least try to go to school and start getting things going in that regard. But you know what? I grew up in downtown Toronto, and it was a really, really tough upbringing, an eclectic, cosmopolitan, interesting upbringing. And, you know, a lot of kids, if they weren't into hockey, they were into crime or being a bunch of twerps. And for me, baseball just got me going, and I truly believe that the pivotal moment for me as a young person trying to decide what I want to do in terms of sports was the Blue Jays winning the East Division in 1985. My first year of organized baseball was 1986. I had an entire winter to chomp at the bit and throw tennis balls against the side of our building, you know, to prepare for that first baseball experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, after that, it was just off to the races. And you know, I had a wonderful 10-year run going from Tyke to Pee Wee to Bantam to Midget to getting a scholarship at a college. And it's hilarious. It seemed like forever.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like forever, but it wasn't. And the further we go ahead, the further in the rearview mirror that whole era is.
You can thank Mookie Wilson for your past.
Here's a guy wearing a Boston Red Sox throwback jersey, and he's bringing up Mookie Wilson. Those memories just will not die, will they? Even though you've won a couple of World Series over the past 5-4 years. For me, 1985, Blue Jays winning the East Division, and I also found my hero in that series, and he's not a Blue Jay. He's Kansas City Royal. Where's number 5?
George Brett.
Yeah, one of the greatest hitters to ever walk the face of the earth.
One of the greatest third basemen to ever play the game.
Absolutely. And, it was just such an amazing time for me because, it's like these lights go on and these gates open up to a brand new world that you're just so excited weird, especially at that age. I'm, you know, what, 9, 10 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, baseball becomes this thing that I can gravitate to and I can put my whole effort into, besides, you know, being a little punk running around the street. To be honest with you, I think baseball is one of the reasons why, you know, I didn't go down the wrong road. And baseball, in turn, led to other things like opportunity in broadcasting. And here we are.
I know exactly where you're coming from.
Real live phone call.
Real live phone call in the studio. What's going on?
Well, my girlfriend's calling. Hello, sweetheart. How are you? Not too bad. I'm just in the middle of a radio interview with August Donnelly. Yes, we are. That's okay. What's going on? Just wanted to say hi. Well, we are doing the interview. We're talking baseball right now. And hey, you know what, though? Guests are always welcome on this show, even if they're via phone.
This is absolutely true. Via phone, via satellite, via telegraph. It's all welcome.
Well, I shall. I just want to tell you, I love you. She says I'm just doing it for the radio. In a way, I am, but you know I love you. All right, we'll talk later. Bye.
Yeah, but you're a hockey fan yourself as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a Canadian, so you know it's almost my right to be a hockey fan until I refuse it. But you know, again, growing up, hockey was huge to me as well.
Yeah.
I mean, and I woke up on the left side of the bed one morning. I may have wanted to be a hockey player as opposed to a baseball player. So hey, you know, hockey. Let's just put it this way. Baseball's in my heart, hockey's in my blood. I mean, it's what we do in Canada, and
this is true.
You know, I absolutely love the game. I never dreamt of being a hockey player. I've again had plenty of dreams about hitting the game-winning home run. So I just know that, you know, baseball's always been my game, but you know, I'm as much a hockey fan as the next guy.
But scoring the Stanley Cup winning goal wouldn't be a bad substitute.
Well, you know, to be on that stage, to do something in a moment of, you know, of seriousness, and to be able to score the game winning goal and to make my team the champion, you know, that would be, that'd be wonderful. And I think every day, you know, you want to do something to make your personal situation better, or, you know, your work situation better. So everybody wants to sort of be the hero, to sort of make what their life better. So in a lot of ways, you know, we could use hockey as an analogy for what we're doing in life. I mean, any kind of sport, in terms of trying to achieve greatness and try to come through in the clutch when you really have to.
You know, and as far as wanting to be the hero, I was under the misconception that Norman James already was the hero. I am
the goat. Believe me, I am the goat. I am the goat without horns right now. Look, you know, being in television, oftentimes, you know, you can be the target for ridicule just because you are out there. And in a lot of ways, inadvertently, we are providing a release to people who, at home, some viewers who might have a lot of angst built up, and you know, they might need to see my face every day to sort of, you know, get some you know, get some of that you know, that angst in them out. So hey, if I can be that release for some people, great. If for the most part I can provide information that people need, that's really what I'm trying to do.
For sure, and you're doing it well.
I appreciate that.
No problem. What was, if you can recall, the most memorable or perhaps the most poignant story you can recall relating to the 8 Channel viewers regarding the sports world, be it professional or local or otherwise?
Well, to be honest with you, what happened recently in Windsor, with the death of Mickey Reno,
yes,
the Spitfires captain.
That was terrible.
You know, it's hard. It's hard to stay in reporter form. It's hard to stay in journalist form when you're covering the story, whether you're there in the heart of the story, or you're afar and you're presenting bits of information to our viewers. It's very, very difficult to not feel touched.
Yeah,
and I don't think we attempt not to be affected by this kind of stuff, but we have to be at an arm's length at all times when we are presenting information about this story like this. So the death of Mickey Reno really touched me, because this guy was just a true blue, hard-nosed, hard-working kid who was going to achieve, or who was achieving success through his hard work and his dedication. And look, he was a sixth-round draft pick by the Calgary Flames, by no means a guaranteed NHLer, but everybody seemed to have the feeling that, you know, he was going to make the NHL based on his heart and not so much his ability, but just, you know, hard work and dedication. And to see that taken away, you know, in such a dramatic and such a, you know, instant fashion, it's still difficult to swallow. And, you know, that's a story that that is going to stick with all of us for as long as we're alive, because, you know, we've seen, you know, someone who had literally the world by the balls have it all taken away from him, and it's so crushing, it's so sad. But yet there are hundreds of stories that will be derivatives of that tragedy that will be positives, and that will be, at the end of the day, you know, stories of heroism or stories of achievement. And we're following those stories as we speak.
Yeah, and that just goes to speak to the fact that when people say, you know, sports is an escape and it's trivial in the big scheme of things, which, I mean, you can argue that either way, but there's always that human element, and that's, you know, when you've got the loss of somebody like Mickey Reno, that's, I mean, obviously, that touches people, because this isn't a sports figure or an athlete per se. I mean, this is a guy that was, you know, he breathed the same air we did, drank the same water, and I mean, was a, you know, a citizen of the human race.
That's what sports is about. It's about triumph, tragedy, and, you know, we always hope that with the bad there will be good. And, you know, with those who won't be able to make it, there will be others who can. And we'll live the dream in a lot of ways for those who couldn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, I truly believe that, you know, we are going to see players of Mickey Reno's generation shine in the NHL, or shine at whatever they do.
Yeah.
And I truly believe they will shine, not just for themselves, but for those who couldn't. And Mickey is one of them. We are waiting for, you know, the next great story, the next great athlete, the next great achievement, and, you know, that's essentially what sports is about, and it's why we are captivated by it. And you know, hey, those non-sporting types, they have something to captivate them, whether it's a TV show or whether it's a book or whether it's, you know, arts, entertainment, architecture. I don't know what it is, but for us who you know, eat, breathe, sleep sports, you know, we wake up every day, you know, hoping to be dazzled, and you know, we currently are, but, you know, down the line, someone else will impress us, and, you know, make the debate for who the greatest is even more difficult, because it's another name, another career, more achievements to mull over. But hey, you know what? I'm not complaining.
No, absolutely not. Norm, I greatly appreciate you doing the show, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We'll talk again sometime. Take care.
Thank you.
I am all out of time for another edition of Full Frontal right here on CHRW 94.9 FM. But make sure you tune in again in 2 weeks' time right here, Monday night, 7:30 p.m. And in the meantime, if you want to get in touch, ask a question, you know the drill, email me at august@chrwradio.com, or get in touch through my official website at www.augustdonnelly.com. In the meantime, be who you are, no matter where you might find yourself, because without you, you're lost.